Sarah, aka TriSarah for Kids on the Leaderboard.
Hi, I'm Katie, aka Katie Pellavicino on the Leaderboard.
We are friends, triathletes, and working moms with six kids ages 12 and under between us.
We like to talk.
We like to listen and tell great stories.
And we love to ride our Peloton. Together, we bring you the Empower Hour podcast with Katie and Sarah. And we plan to share what's going on in our world, answer important training and racing questions, and bring on inspirational, intriguing, and insightful guests, all with the mission to motivate you to move.
And while our focus will be mostly on power zone training on the Peloton, we will also address issues that affect a broad spectrum of healthy living. Things like squeezing in everything when you've got small kids at home, to returning to fitness after pregnancy or injury, and so much more.
So join us each week as we catch up, discuss our mutual love of training and all things Peloton, and tap into the minds of experts and fascinating guests while bringing you the advice and inspiration you need.
In this very special episode of the Empower Hour with Katie and Sarah, Katie and Sarah are actually together for the first time recording this podcast. We celebrate Katie's birthday, toast it with Cody Rigsby's Fun and Flouncies, and then we turn it over to one of our idols, Miranda Carefrey, who we have a lovely chat with about being a triathlete, a mom, training, balancing family, and everything that entails. So thanks for Rennie for joining the show, and we hope that you enjoy it.
Hi, Katie.
Hey, Sarah. You're sitting here right next to me.
I know. This is like the first time I've ever been on Zoom with somebody else that's in the same room. So this is exciting. And yeah, it's the first time we've recorded a podcast in the same room. So
yeah, so it's cool. We decided to get together. My birthday is Tuesday, the big 43. So Sarah and I always like to get together close to our birthdays and just see each other. So
yeah. And so it's just so happened this week was free of swim team obligations.
Yep.
And so I brought some kids over here and Katie made us some Cody Rigsby Fun and Flouncies.
Yep. If you don't know what that is, it's rosé, Sprite Zero, and just frozen fruit.
Yeah. So cheers.
Cheers.
We're going to do yes. Cheers. Even though,
cheers.
Yeah. So Katie has a birthday next week. I will be at the beach and be celebrating her from afar, but this is our opportunity to hang out. And we just did an awesome interview with our guest of honor. You can tell them who it is.
So Miranda Carefrey, and yeah, so we just talked to her. I'm a little starstruck, but it was a great conversation that we had with her on her newly becoming a mom of two and what her plans are for upcoming racing.
Right. It's not every day you get to talk to a multi-time Ironman world champion.
Yeah.
So she's amazing. She's just so normal. And just to hear her talk about being a mom and being very like hands-on with her kids. And I know there's so many triathlete moms out there who will love hearing what she has to say, or any mom, anyone who's doing multiple things, just like how she handles, you know, just the busy schedule, and she's training. She really downplayed her training, but you know, she's training.
Yeah. Just talking crazy to her about how her and Tim both balance training, because they're both training. They're both going to be racing and training. And I know that Matthias and I have struggled with that in the past. I'm like, how do we balance this all? And, you know, they like us met through triathlon, and then when you can't do that together anymore. That's just an interesting thing that happens.
Yeah. I think that in following both of their careers, they tend to have good days when the other person is either not racing or doesn't have a good day. Like once in a while, they'll both have good races.
Right.
But a lot of times it's like the give or take, because, you know, it's really hard that both of them have a good day. And they seem to be such a great pair in that they support each other's dreams and they're still doing this, and she's 40 now, and that doesn't mean anything in the sport anymore, because there's so many people, men and women, who are exceeding all these supposed barriers on age. So it's really good for us to see that she's still competing and going to be going to the world championships again. And yeah, so you guys get to hear a conversation with Rennie. But meanwhile, so let's just like recap what's going on in our lives in the past week.
Yeah, so we both finished up swim season on Saturday, the weekend. Our kids were, Nelly and Leo were both super close to making it to All-Stars, but maybe next year, 8 and under, so maybe they've got a whole, 10 years ahead of them to get there. So
Miss Nelly, who I didn't even think could swim butterfly. I don't know how she learned butterfly, had nothing to do with it. And I didn't think it was legal. And then next thing you know, she's almost getting ulcer time. But it was really fun. It was a great season. It was
it was just great to be back to normal. Things seemed back to normal with swim meets and friends and just that fun, swim friendships that you get to have. And
you see the same people every day, almost every day for 6 weeks. And, you first it's a little overwhelming, and then all of a sudden it becomes like part of your world and you want to do it. And Katie and I are both like, Katie designed t-shirts for divisionals. I designed the program. Like, neither of us really have like pockets of time to do any of this.
We love it.
We want people to just enjoy the experience of swim team because it does go by so fast, and now it's over. So we have like a couple, our team has a couple of kids and like All-Stars.
Yeah, we had three from our team of 240.
Right. It's so hard. It's hard to make it. So we'll be cheering those kids on again from afar. I'm not going to All-Stars. I was like, are we going to go to cheer everybody on? I'm like, I think we've had our share.
Nelly asked me, she's like, are you in our, what division are you? What division are you? I'm like, honey, we're not even in your league.
Not even in the same state.
We're like, you're Maryland, you're Montgomery County Swim League, and we're Northern Virginia Swim League. And we're like, she's like, we're F or something. And it's like, well, we're nine. So
different letters, numbers. Compare. Yeah, you can't compare. But hey, let's talk about our parents' relays. So
let me talk about my parents' relay. Okay. So our banquet started at about 6. Everyone starts eating, drinking, after the awards and the trophies went out, the kids overtook the pool. They do chicken fights. They're the only time they're allowed to do this. It was starting to get crazy. I had about 3 glasses of wine, 9:30 rolled around. Katie gets really tired. And she says to Matthias, like, I think I'm going to go home. I don't think the parents' relays are happening. He says, I don't think so either. They did happen. Oh. I missed it.
Oh.
Yeah. So for my birthday, I'm having a swim party and we're doing relays.
Oh my gosh. That's so disappointing.
Such a bummer. I know. I trained all year for this, And so now,
So you'll get some redemption.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you about our parents' relay. So they decided, I think last time we talked, we weren't going to have one. They decided on Wednesday. Well, I heard about it on Wednesday that they were going to have a parents' relay after divisionals. And so our rep was like, do you want to do it? I said, yes, of course. I'm never not going to do the parents' relay until someone kicks me off. So there were six relays at the end of divisionals. Every team is there. There's kids lining the pool. I mean, you feel like you're at the Olympics.
See, I wish we did that. Yeah. I need to make a movement to change this because we need to do it at the end of divisionals or relay carnival or something because, we wouldn't have won though. So we have the similar situation where I'm going to have him listen to this podcast. It's Churchill Hoof. He's got still records and his kids are on the swim team. So he swims and then two other parents who are superstar swimmers. And then they've got another kid. So we wouldn't have won anyways.
Yeah. Well, we won.
Yes, of course.
And so I like with John, who led off with the torn calf, I said, maybe don't dive in because that might hurt your calf.
And do you guys all do free? So, and make us
It's okay. A free. Yeah. Two dives.
Okay.
And I didn't want to dive, but I ended up being on the wrong side. So I dove. And I think we were in like third place and I just buried my head and I realized I do everything wrong because now I'm watching the Olympics and in the spring they're breathing every stroke.
Yeah, because they say now to breathe every stroke because you're wasting your energy by not breathing and it's gonna slow you down.
Yeah. Well, I didn't breathe at all.
Yeah.
So I split I think a high 13.
That's good.
Which,
for meters?
Yes.
Okay.
That, and then Mark was probably about the same, and both of us decided, like, if we had to do a flip turn, we would not. Like, that was probably it. I was, like, breathing really heavy for about 20 minutes after that. So we won, and it was really exciting.
That's exciting.
I wore my Rev 3 shimmer.
You know, I had mine packed because I saw your picture, and I packed mine. I was like, what's in, obviously.
Yeah.
And I packed mine, and I, you know, and then it didn't happen.
Yeah.
So, well, maybe it'll Tuesday.
Happen on Tuesday. Yeah. Yeah. So that was exciting. I mean, it's, like, pathetic because we're old and parents, and like the real excitement was that, you know, our team did really well. They got third. They were expected to get like fourth or fifth, but you know, the end of this,
we're all washed up.
Yeah. So. I know. And they're like, wow, Mrs. Flynn, you can still swim. I'm like, yeah, I can still swim, barely.
25.
So that was exciting.
So you guys are going to the beach on Sunday. And you'll be there for a week. And so what's your plan for training while you're there?
So, you know, we're in the Power Zone Pack challenge. And I talked about feeling like I needed to bring my Peloton. I am bringing my bike and I'm going to do the workouts. So there's four rides a week, which is a lot. I would definitely not ride four times a week. If I was down there, I'd run more. But I'm just going to try to ride and do the workouts, like have, you know, my headphones in, and then it's pretty safe.
And it's probably like pretty flat. So
it's
you
flat.
Can, yeah.
And then just try to tap into whatever I feel like is zone three,
yeah,
zone four. The harder the workout, the easier it'll be, right? Because it's going to be like, if it's a Power Zone, I don't think we do any Power Zone Max class. But
yeah,
if
they're
just
all Power Zone class.
Yeah.
Just, but it is just ramping up a little bit quickly this,
yeah,
although it is only 6 weeks. So.
So like the one that we did on Monday, or the ride one of this week, was Power Zone.
Yeah.
Which was hard.
I struggled with that.
Really hard.
Yeah.
But I think on a bike, it would be outside.
Right.
It'll be,
yeah,
it'll be,
oh,
so
yeah,
much easier.
Yeah.
So the goal for me is just to run, or not run, bike as many as, try
to
as many minutes,
do like
as
a 45 and a 30 back to back,
right,
too.
Yeah. So, and then,
yeah,
how about you?
Session.
You guys are gonna,
so my birthday is Tuesday, and we're doing like a swim party, and we are gonna do like some relays, some mixed parent kid relays. But during the day is my annual birthday workout, so my birthday triathlon. So I did it last year. I did it the last time I did it was in my 30s, like early 30s, maybe 32. And then I didn't do it for about 10 years. And then last year with COVID, it was like, what else am I supposed to do for my birthday? So I decided to knock it out, and I did for 42. Well, so this year for 43, it'll be a 4,300 yard swim, 43 mile bike, and then a 43 minute run. And this is coined after this guy I met swimming in Masters, Matthias and I, Mr. Tim Peters. He would do this birthday workout every birthday. He was like July 4th or 5th. And, you know, he was getting into his 50s. So he was doing quite a lot. Anyways, it'll take me about till noon. I'll start around 6 and then I'll just train until noon. And that's what I like to do. So
yeah,
my birthday, that's what I like to do.
Are you taking the day off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take the day off, and then we'll have the swim party in the afternoon. So that's the plan.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it easy till then, because I did Palo Fondo last weekend.
Yeah, I don't know how you did that.
And I think the reason I had such a struggle with the challenge ride one was because I was just tired from the weekend,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Yeah.
I ended up doing 100. I did like 35 before divisionals on Saturday, and then about 65.
Oh my,
I think,
gosh.
I did 45 in the morning, and then I was like, I just can't do any more right now. I got lunch, and then I was like, I'm going to get back on. And I did 25 more.
Yeah, that, I was like, wow, that's ambitious that you got up that early on Saturday.
Yeah, but if anyone wants to do
more
it, do the next October 24th, 25th, we'll,
yeah,
have a team.
Things will be less crazy then.
Yeah,
I hope, at least on Saturdays.
The October one's usually a pretty big hit,
mm-hmm,
so.
Yeah,
so that's,
well,
so that's what's going on here. And then I go to Ohio on the 6th to see my mom, just me.
Oh, just you?
Yep, just
no
me.
Kids?
No kids. I'll be gone Friday to Monday.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Hang out with my mom.
Is your sister going?
Nope.
No?
Just me.
Oh, that'll be really nice.
Yeah.
Like when you ever get one-on-one time,
exactly,
with your mom.
It'll,
yeah,
be, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So,
oh,
and then basically we got 2 weeks since school starts.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Well, I will join you that day. I'm going to try to do some of it, you know, virtually, some of your triathlon. The swimming, I'm not sure about, because I'd have to swim in the,
I think,
ocean.
I'm actually going to swim first. I was thinking about doing like the live run and this and that, but I feel like if I don't swim first, like I just got to knock the swim out, it's gonna be hard to go to the pool after I'm exhausted.
Right. Yeah.
I'm gonna swim first, and then I'll have a lineup of bike and run. So it'll be easier for you to
do it like a regular triathlon.
Yep. Exactly.
Well, that's a great way to celebrate your birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See how?
Yeah.
Someone was telling me like, okay, you're gonna keep on going up, up, up. It's like maybe when I hit 50, I'll do 100 minus my age. So it'll be like, when I'm 51, it'll be 49. I have to do 49.
Okay.
Minus kind of my age.
I don't think you're going to do that.
Yeah. I mean, let's see how
I think
far
you're just
going to
keep
it.
Going.
I don't know. Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's
a wrap.
That's a wrap. We can go right into our powerhouse segment.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Let's just enjoy. Just a cheers again.
So yep,
cheers to being fun and flouncy.
Yep.
In 43. /42. For our powerhouse segment, our guest needs no introduction. It's somebody who I had the pleasure of interviewing about, I think it was 9 or 10 months ago, and she was just announcing her pregnancy for her second baby. Now, since has had another baby, she's a multi-time world champion, one of the greatest triathletes to ever walk the face of the earth. It's Verinda Rini Karpre. So welcome to the Empower Hour.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you. You know, Katie and I are fellow triathlete moms, and we're just so happy to be able to talk about being a triathlete, being a mom, and what that all entails. So tell us how everything's going, and how old is number two now, and Finn, I should say.
A little guy.
Yeah.
Finn is, he'll be, I guess, 7 months next week. It's actually the second time around. Flown by. I remember with Izzy, the early days just seemed like every hour was quite slow. You know, they say that the days are slow, but the years are fast. That was true with my first, but I feel like everything's been going fast with the second. But yeah, he's doing great. He's a happy little dude. I think Izzy has just a lot of energy, and so he kind of just is finding his space. But yeah, everything's wonderful.
Yeah, he's super cute, I have to say, as is Izzy. They look alike.
How old is Izzy?
Izzy is turning 4 in 3 weeks. So they're probably, okay. you know, 3.5 years apart, thereabouts.
So how was it going from 1 to 2 kids?
You know, I've been asked this a lot. And if you ask my husband, he's like, oh, it's a lot more crazy with 2. But I feel like going from 0 to 1 was way harder than going from 1 to 2 with I felt like, you know, with Izzy, it was basically training and Izzy, and that's all I have time for. And now with Finn, it's training and Izzy and Finn, and there's not really any more hours in the day. So it's the same amount of time, I guess. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot to juggle coming back to training full time and having both of them. But I think we're doing okay so far.
Yeah.
I have to agree with you on that. Like going from 0 to 1 was like a lifestyle change, right? And then going from 2, it's, you're already kind of doing the same thing. How are you and Tim just both juggling with your training and having two kids?
So we don't have any family anywhere near us. His family's all on the East Coast and mine is all in Australia. And so when we had Izzy, we knew we would have to have hire a nanny. And so we had a nanny with Izzy for almost 3 years. And we hired a new nanny as well for the both of them. Basically, Izzy hasn't started school yet, and she'll start in the fall, just like 3 mornings a week, preschool. But yeah, I basically have my nanny cover all my training hours. I have her come in one day a week on Monday afternoons. I have Mondays is my easy day. And so I have just a swim, and then I basically, it's the only day I get on the computer to get any office work done and do the laundry or whatever other chores around the house to get set up for the week. But I basically just train and then come home and I'm on kid duty. Tim, you know, obviously is on kid duty a lot, but I let him, well, kind of the way it works out best for us is he does a lot of office work. So he'll do like all the, you know, whatever house, you know, admin things that we as a couple need to sort out now that we're adults and have obligations and things we need to do just every day, like that sort of stuff he takes care of. But obviously still I have sponsors and other commitments, and I need to try and find time to take care of. And that's really the juggling part, because, you know, just doing training and just looking after kids is fine. It's when you have like other additional asks that come in that it makes it a little bit harder. I'm sorry. Let me see if I can turn off notifications.
Yeah, I didn't hear.
Oh, you didn't hear. Okay, good.
So we know about like all what you do is like training and then this admin that, you know, the adulting, so to speak. What do you guys do for fun as a family?
So we have Izzy being almost four now. She's very aware of when I'm going to training and not going to training, and when it's family day or Izzy day. And so it's basically Sunday mornings or Sunday fun day. We run in the morning. We get our runs done pretty early, and then we spend the rest of the day doing things with Izzy, whether that's just, you know, playing with her at home or taking her to the pool or going to the park or just doing some sort of fun activity with her. And also Mondays, as I said, are my day off. So Monday mornings, we always make sure we do something fun with Izzy. And obviously Finn's still pretty little, but, you know, just spending time with him, and he kind of just comes along for the ride a lot of the time. I think he has no choice.
Yeah.
So you guys haven't raced since Finn was born, but I think are you doing Alcatraz in 2 weeks? Is that coming? You're going to be your first race back?
I was looking at doing Boulder 70.3 actually, and Alcatraz was an option too, but Julie, my coach last week, just said, let's just give it another week or two. She's like, I feel like we'll be chasing it a bit too much, and there's no real need to rush back at this point. And so I'm actually going to do Timberman, will be my first race back. And I think that's 3 weeks away from this weekend. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting back. I've done Timberman once, I think in 2016, and really loved the race. And actually it's a great opportunity for our whole family to go out, because a lot of Tim's family are based out of there and they can drive and come and hang out with us. So we're looking forward to that.
Will that be the first time that they meet Finn as well?
So some of Tim's family. So Tim's parents have come out and visited. Fortunately, they came and stayed for about 10 days a couple of months ago, which was awesome. One of his brothers lives in Nebraska now, and so they've driven out a few times to visit. But his sister and their family haven't met Finn yet, so that will be really nice. And none of my family obviously have met the little guy in person, and I don't know when we'll get to go back to Australia, so hopefully sooner than later.
Yeah. So coming back, you know, from pregnancy the second time around, was it just as challenging as you remember with Izzy, or was it a little bit easier because you knew what to expect?
I think I knew what to expect. So there was like an element of just being there and doing that and having like the patience and knowing that, okay, it's going to come back, and realizing that, it is really hard work. And expecting it to be really hard to get back. But having said that, I feel like this time around, I kept like weight on a little longer. So I retained fluid or kept weight on for whatever reason a little longer. So running has just been pretty awful. I'm still probably about 5 pounds heavier than I would normally be at, you know, training in this level. So definitely still feeling those few pounds, but it'll come off when it comes off. It's not something that I'm too worried about. It's just, you know, it is what it is, and it means that running's a little bit harder than it needs to be. But the swimming has come back pretty well, and I actually feel like around 6 months things started to shift a little bit, and I feel like that was similar with Izzy. Around that time I felt like, oh, okay, like there it is, I can, you know, feel like I'm starting to push some, you know, real numbers on the bike, and I feel like you know, I'm actually making some of the swim sets, and slowly the run has been coming back, and I've seen some bigger improvements in the last few weeks. Prior to that, it just felt like I was never going to be able to run again. But you know, fortunately it started to come back.
You just have to be patient, and it clicks eventually, and you don't really have any idea when it's going to click or why or how. You just have to kind of ride through it. And with the weight too, like I had my fourth, January 2020, so now she's 18 months, but like it took a lot longer for me I think my age had something to do with it, but it was just like, whoa, like, why is this baby weight still here? And then I went back to, you know, close to where I was before, but it did take longer. I think with each subsequent pregnancy, it took a little longer.
Okay. So, yeah. I wondered a question for you as, for both of you is, you know, is it my age? Cause you know, I just turned 40 this year. Or is it just the second baby, third baby takes a little longer?
I think it just takes, so I got, my son was 7 months old when I got pregnant with my daughter, and I thought I was back in shape when I, you know, got pregnant with her until I actually went past that point of like, wow, it's like, you don't realize, you know, how much further you have to go. And you do, I mean, and it does take a while. Like, I feel like it's, what's crazy is like you have the baby and all of a sudden it's like you drop weight so quickly, but then you plateau and then it takes like a slower time for that like last bit to like last bit of getting back to it to actually get to it. So
yeah. Something your metabolism, I don't think it's, switches. But I mean, for me, I do think it might have been a little bit of age because my kids were like 2 years apart and then I had a 7 year gap. And so there's a lot that goes on in 7 years, right?
Yeah.
In the female body. So I was like, okay, like, is this going to be my body now? Like, if this is the way I look now. And then I would say like, you know, time, not, you know, the more farther away I was from when I stopped nursing her, like the more my body got back to like where it was before. But then I think everybody's so different too. So,
But and I also wonder, I mean, I fed Izzy for like 2.5 years and I feel like I just didn't pay attention to my weight as much because I kind of, you know, went to Australia and I was there for 2 months training and I just didn't have a scale where we were. And I came back here and I was like race weight. And I guess that was around the 7 month period, but with Finn, because I'm home and like the scale's in the bathroom and it's not that I like, I'm worried or like that's not going to come up or anything. It's just more like, oh, out of curiosity, like what's my weight now? And so I've just like noticed it a lot more this time around. And yeah, totally. I got, you know, 2 weeks after I had Finn, I dropped a bunch of weight and I'm like, this is going to be so easy the second time around. I felt like everything came back together a lot quicker. Like I felt more normal. After Izzy, I was out of sorts for like two months, maybe more. But after Finn, I felt like, just my pelvis felt like more solid. I felt like whole again, much quicker after having him, but the weight, just has hung around, but
we're data driven, right? We're data driven. So it's the numbers, like you want the number to be the right number. So I completely get that.
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, I'm sure you're in amazing shape and you'll do awesome at Timberman. One other thing we wanted to talk to you about was getting your American citizenship. So that, congratulations.
Thank you. That only happened 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Or a week. Yeah, 2 weeks ago almost.
What made you want to do that? And like, what was that process like? Especially now, I'm sure everything was kind of virtual and I don't know what it was like before, but it was probably a little different.
I think it was a little different, but so I've held a green card for over 10 years now. I got my green card after I won Worlds in 2010. My attorney suggested, who helped me with my athlete visa to be here pretty much full time, helped me apply for a green card. And that was like quite a serious process. But basically after you hold a green card for 5 years, you can apply for citizenship. And so it's just been like something that I've been going to do for the past five years or so. And finally I was just like, I'm just going to, you know, get this started because I hear it can take a couple of years or a year or whatever to get an interview. And it actually was really quick. I guess the attorney that I went through this time was like at the Denver office is just really fast. And so, it all happened pretty quick. And I went in for my interview, which you have to study basically 100 questions, which I'm grateful that, you know, they make you do this because it was kind of good to learn a little bit of American history. And, you know, a lot of questions, I feel like a lot of Americans wouldn't know the answer to. Certainly people that I spoke to them, like, I'm like asking them questions and they're like, I don't know, but it's a lot of stuff that you guys learn in like primary school in grade, you know, 4, 5, 6, that you would probably forget about. But you have to learn the 100 questions and they'll ask you 10 questions Well, they'll ask you, you need to get 60% right. So they'll stop asking at six questions if you get the first six right. So I was pretty nervous about that. I mean, I studied and so I pretty much knew, but I'm like, there were a couple of questions that I was, you know, I kept mixing up. And but I, you know, got the first six right and they were quite easy. And I think usually you go in for your interview, you do that, you do a little written, like you have to show that you can read English and write in English. And then I think they then schedule a swearing in ceremony. But with COVID, my officer just left. She said she left the room. She said, I just have to go get something. She basically left the room, went and got my certificate and my little American flag and came back in. And she's like, okay, raise your right hand. And I'm like, okay.
Wow.
I'm like, wait. So then she's like, okay, congratulations. You're an American citizen. I'm like, wait, like an hour? Now I am? And she's like, yeah. And so it was crazy because it was like my appointment was 7:30 on Monday morning down like in just past Denver in Aurora. So it's like an hour drive away. So yeah, I like came home. I was home at like 9 o'clock and I'm like, well, I'm a citizen. So
I was like, sorry, oh, so ceremony.
Yeah, so yeah, I know. So that's kind of the bummer part because I think usually you'll go to a ceremony and you'll have your family come along and you get dressed up and it's kind of like a whole deal. But for me it was just okay, you're good to go.
So wow. That's very
good. Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, congrats.
Thank you.
I don't know if I would have passed. I'm a math and science major. I don't know the history. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's more, you know, you just have to, you know, do the study. If you do the study, then you'll pass, no problem. And apparently most English speaking people who apply pass. There's not many that don't.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of USA, are you watching the Olympics?
Yes. So in our house, it's so funny. I mean, the swimming's going on right now. I mean, we're watching a lot of swimming. A lot of obviously other events are on, but we really enjoy watching swimming because there's a lot of great Australian and there's the Australian American rivalry. And so I'm like cheering for the Australians because obviously I'm born in Australia, but also, you know, love to see the Americans. And my daughter's like on one, you know, one time she's like, Aussie, 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 oi, oi, oi. And then the other time she's like, USA. So it's kind of just fun to watch it with her.
Did you watch the triathlon?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved the women. I watched the men's race, but I had the kids, so I kind of was like playing with the kids. But we watched the women's race and it was pretty cool to see that podium, to see Flora win after, you know, this is a fourth Olympics and to be the first gold medal for Bermuda is pretty incredible. And obviously she trains here in Boulder. So, you know, we've done plenty of, you know, swims with her. I mean, she definitely swims a couple of lanes down from me, but yeah, great to see her pull off that victory. And then I don't know the second place girl very well at all, but Katie Zafaris, I've gotten to know over the years, and to see her pull off a really great performance after a tough year for her too was really nice. So yeah, it was great to see that.
Yeah,
that all.
Got the team competition coming up, which will be interesting to see
the relay.
Yeah.
Have you ever done a relay before?
You know, here's an interesting piece of trivia. We were the first world champions in maybe 2002 or 2003. So the first ever mixed relay, when they were just like figuring out if this is something that they're going to do or not, we raced in Tisuvaras in Hungary and the Australian team won. So that's a very little known fact. Richie Cunningham was in the team. I think Simon Thompson, probably a name you wouldn't know anymore. Pip Taylor, Nikki Butterfield. That's showing my age.
Yeah, no, it's funny because it's like just now an Olympic event, but it has been, you know, competed, like you said, for a while. They did a big one at Hy-Vee 1 year too. I don't know if you remember that, but it was 2008, 2009 or something. But yeah, I wrote an article about it. I was like, I didn't know this was, you kind of, things happen, you forget about it. And then they make such a big deal about it now. I'm like, oh, wow, these people have been, you know, the triathletes, I've been doing it for a while. So that should be exciting to watch.
I think it'll be really fun to watch. And I think, you know, I think the whole idea is to you know, be a little bit more dynamic and more, you know, excitement around the sport because it's a lot shorter.
Friendly, even though there's no spectators.
I think Taylor's the one racing. Taylor Nibb. She's actually from our area. And actually, it's funny, I pulled up results. I raced with her back in 2011. She was like 14.
Yeah.
And she was still like 10th in the race. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah. So she actually trains out of the same pool at Rally Sport and has the same strength coach as me, Erin Carson. So we've been following Taylor Nibb's progress over the year or over the last couple of years. And we're hoping to see a great race out of her, but she's so young.
Like, yeah.
She's got
so young. Yeah.
Yeah.
Has a bright future ahead of her.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's switch gears to Athletic Greens. So you've been a partner with them for over a year now. And I saw that, like, I think a year ago you posted that it's like part of your everyday routine. So I was just curious about how you work it into your daily, like, schedule. Are you drinking it in the morning? And, like, you know, how often and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I try to get it in daily. I don't drink coffee, so it can be like a replacement for like that morning coffee. But I tend to a lot of the time just get up and go in the morning. So I'll get up and have like a bite to eat, do my morning training. And then typically I end up having it sort of with my, you know, second breakfast / lunch. And I find that that is sort of a good time to have it, but it is easy on the stomach. It's not something that you have to shy away from taking like before exercise. It's just more, you know, I'm running out the door with a bar in my hand to get to that first session. Cause I generally tend to train kind of early and get most of my training done in the morning so that I have the afternoons with the kids. But yeah, I mean, it's been something that I've been pretty consistent with over the past, I guess year and a half. I started working with Athletic Greens in early, I think 2000. And yeah, it's kind of like just my assurance that I'm getting, you know, all of those good vitamins and minerals, whole food sourced and non-GMO product.
Do you do it in a smoothie or do you just put it like with ice, just mix it up with?
A lot of the time I'll do it just with ice, but it is really good in a smoothie. I mean, the taste is, you look at it and you think it's going to be a little offensive, but it's totally fine. It's good. It's better cold than warm, but I don't mind it warm. My daughter loves it. Izzy is always drinking my Athletic Greens. If I leave it on the bench and don't drink it all right away, she loves it too. So the flavor is pretty good. You don't need to put it in a smoothie, but sometimes I will put it in a smoothie if I need some more calories, you know, and a lot of the time with breastfeeding and training, I do need a few extra calories to get me through the day.
Can you describe, like, how would you say the taste is? What does it taste like?
So I think you look at it and you think it's going to taste like wheat grass or grassy, but it's kind of a little more sweet, maybe like hints of vanilla. If I was to describe it, it's hard to. It's pretty like mild taste. It's not like you put in your mouth and you're like, oh, like that's like a distinct Athletic Greens. It's kind of like a pretty mellow flavor.
Mm-hmm. I was just wondering because I was watching some reviews just to get like some more input about it. And someone said it tastes like grass and bubble gum. So it's like, that's a weird combination, but yeah.
I mean, I would not describe it that way, but I don't think it tastes grassy at all.
And so why would you recommend it to like a fellow triathlete or somebody who's busy and on the go? What benefits does it bring for you?
I just think it's quick and easy to take and, you know, you're getting your greens in every day. It's really, I mean, if you are someone who is really good at making sure they're eating enough greens every day, that they're getting all the vitamins and minerals they need, maybe it's not for you. But if you're someone that's like, yeah, some days I do have my, you know, my greens and my salads and stuff, and some days I don't, which is me. I think it's a really good option to make sure you're getting it in every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's one thing like I was like on the search for is like, you know, there's multivitamins, there's this, there's that. You want to make sure you have it all. But like for the normal person, you know, it's easy to get all those things in. But for someone like you, who's, you know, exercising so much, you definitely are depleting your body of things. You'd have to be eating like heads of lettuce, like, you know, just like, just to get all of it in. It's something to just kind of ensure that you're getting all the nutrients that you need and the things that you're missing, like extra that you need as somebody who works out as much as you do.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think for me, it's fantastic, but yeah, I mean, anyone who's has a busy life, which I feel like the whole world is busy. with, you know, children and work and train, especially triathletes, and they're the busiest, the age group triathletes, you guys are the busiest people in the world with looking after family. And generally as moms as well, you tend to look after everyone else and not yourself. So this is just one way to make sure you're looking after yourself.
Yeah. All right. Do you have any more questions?
I think so. I guess one last question for you. So like as a mom and someone who, you know, I really just enjoy fitness. I'm not racing as much as I used to, but I just really enjoy fitness. And I think my biggest struggle of being a mom is, you know, I do like a 2-hour, 3-hour, whatever training session, and I'm just like wasted afterwards. And like how to have the energy. The hardest part of my day is not my workout. It's having the energy for my family. I don't know if you have any words of advice for that for our guests.
Yeah. I am a big napper. So if you can nap, I actually take both of the kids every day at about 1 o'clock. And Izzy is at the age now where she doesn't want to nap anymore. But if I go and lay down in bed and take Finn, then she's all about it. And she'll lay down and take a nap for an hour or so, and maybe even up to 2 hours some days if I'm lucky. And I'm out. I'm just asleep. And then I wake up from that nap and I'm ready to go again. So that's my kind of secret weapon is napping. And I mean, yeah, I can get through days without taking that nap. Like today I had an appointment during nap time, so I didn't get to take a nap. So before this podcast, I was on the couch for a 20-minute like power nap, and I actually feel fine. But yeah, I was definitely feeling it today when I missed my real nap. That's kind of my answer.
Yeah, as we're sitting in my office and I have a feather bed on the floor, and Sarah's like, what's this? I'm like, that's where I nap.
Yeah.
I just need like a 20-minute, you know.
So comfy. I like, I need that in my life.
Yeah. No, I'm a big believer in napping. I mean, I couldn't survive. I mean, I napped before I had kids, and now with kids and, you know, breastfeeding in the nighttime. I wouldn't be able to do what I do if I didn't take those naps.
And when you can get the baby and the toddler sleeping at the same time, that's like magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, since I brought him home from the hospital, like the first day I took him in to take a nap, and he fell right asleep. And Izzy's like, well, I want to nap. And so, and I've just stuck to it. I'm like, this is what we're doing every day if we can. Far so good.
Well, wish you luck in keeping that up, because it's like, I love that feeling. Like when we can, and you can just close your eyes and the kids are breathing heavy and it's just like peace.
Yeah.
It is. It really is. You feel like you've won the day when you everyone gets to have a nap.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I mean, I love that you're so honest and you're such a great role model for moms and for women and just for everybody who's trying to do a lot at one time. And you're just like, you know, I hate when people say you do it all, because I know that we all feel like we're dropping balls left and right, but
absolutely.
But you are such a great role model in the sport. So thank you for
sharing, I appreciate
sharing your time with us.
Yeah. And, I mean, it was great to have a conversation with our fellow triathlete moms for sure.
Yeah. Best of luck to you with everything.
Thank you.
Yeah. We'll be cheering you on in a few weeks.
Yeah. Thanks very much. I'm excited to get back out there. We'll see what happens.
It's so cool to watch you again. All right.
Thanks again to Miranda Carefray for taking the time to be so candid and so honest and so refreshing with us. It was so much fun to chat with you, Rennie, and we wish you the best of luck at Ironman Timberman 70.3 coming up soon. And again, happy birthday to the one and only Katie Pallavicino. It was so fun to chat and be in person with you and to toast your birthday and everything that you've accomplished this year. So wishing you another year of awesome success, many miles on the Peloton, and just more fun ahead for us and the Empower Hour
podcast. So thanks for listening. We'll see you around next week.